Hello, thank you for listening to Nathaniel Litchfield and Partners Planning News Update for June. This is the first of what will be a monthly podcast covering the most recent and important changes to planning policy and law in England. My name's Ian Rind, I'm a director at NLP, and I'm here with Nicola Furlonger and Maggie Badley, NLP's associates responsible for keeping the company and our clients up to date with changes in the world of planning and for advising us on the implications of those changes. So, turning to you first, Maggie, following on from the most major changes to the planning regime for England that we've seen for many years, and which have come about through the Localism Act coming into force, and of course the National Planning Policy Framework, are we now in for a time when these changes are going to be given a chance to bed in, or is there going to be more change?
Not at all. There is going to be more change. Change continues apace. So towards the end of May, for example, a new bill was introduced in the House of Commons that'll bring about major change to the heritage regime. The bill's been welcomed by English Heritage. We at NLP too see it as including important, useful measures for streamlining processes for works in conservation areas and works to listed buildings. The bill carries forward many of the government's promised heritage reforms that were initially outlined in response to the Penfold review of non-planning consents, which many people will remember.
So what are these reform measures exactly?
Well, once enacted under the so-called Enterprise and Regulatory Reform Bill, it won't be necessary to apply for conservation area consent for the demolition of buildings. The descriptions of listed buildings will be able to specify objects or structures of a listed building that shouldn't be treated as part of it. And listing notices will be able to specify that part of a building or a feature of a building isn't of special architectural or historic interest. Furthermore, certificates of immunity from listing can be applied for at any time. And lastly, heritage partnership agreements will be formally introduced. They'll, amongst other things, grant listed building consent for specified works.
And what do we know about timing?
Oh, not very much. The bill's second reading is currently programmed for the 11th of June, but that's all. And there's no certainty that the details of the bill will not change during the course of debate in Parliament. Oh, and I should mention too that in the meantime, English Heritage has published a good practice guide for local heritage listing. It's intended to help councils when developing a new heritage list or making improvements to any existing one they have. The idea is that it coordinates with the timing of the new bill. The guide says that local listing can help to influence planning decisions in a way that conserves and enhances local character. English Heritage says something along the same lines too, but we're concerned that the guide could increase uncertainty for the owners of older buildings and create risk for prospective developers, mainly because the selection criteria for local listing are so very wide-ranging.
So, Nicola, we all know that Boris Johnson's been elected for a second term. Is he pushing forward any of his manifesto promises for planning yet?
Yes, he is. Following election, he quickly confirmed that jobs and growth will be central to this term of office, as might be expected. And he announced a series of appointments and reappointments to his team that will deliver on this. This will include Sir Edward Lister, who remains as Deputy Mayor and Head of Planning, Richard Blakeway, who now becomes Deputy Mayor for Housing, Land and Property and Chair of the new Homes for London Board. Kit Malthouse has been appointed as Deputy Mayor for Business and Enterprise. And we also understand that Stuart Murray, current Chief Planner at Redbridge, will replace Giles Dolphin as Assistant Director of Planning at the GLA in the autumn. The Mayor also confirmed the makeup of his Homes for London board, which will oversee the investment of his £3 billion housing budget. And this includes the delivery of housing programmes and the use of the 500 plus hectares of land recently acquired by the GLA following the abolition of the LDA and the HCA in London.
Right, so what about design review in London, Nicola? Any news on that?
Yes, well, there's been two new design panels announced for London over the last month. The Mayor and TfL have said that they are looking to appoint a new architecture, design and urbanism panel for London, which will be open to use by boroughs, housing associations and other public sector organisations involved in the built environment in the capital. And at the same time, the London Legacy Development Corporation has invited appointments to a new quality review panel to advise on the design of the Olympic Park following the Games. So design remains very much at the top of the agenda in London, as it does elsewhere.
Okay, so turning back to you, Maggie, any new planning initiatives that we should know about?
Well, I think we all need to keep an eye on the guidance that's coming out all the time now that's in support of the Localism Act and the National Planning Policy Framework. For example, the Planning Officer Society has published potentially useful advice for all involved in development that focuses on how local authorities should respond to the Act and to the NPPF. Advice on how local planning authorities can retain national or regional policies which would otherwise be lost seems to us, however, rather to defeat the object of the pro-growth NPPF. And the Planning Advisory Service has a new webpage on local plans and the NPPF too that aims to help local planning authorities assess their new or emerging plans against the requirements in the NPPF.
So let's talk about regional strategies, a thorny topic and much debate, much court time spent on that with the Carla Holmes decision. Is there any update for when regional strategies will actually disappear?
Well, yes and no. CLG Minister Bob Neil has confirmed in a House of Commons written answer that he gave recently on the South East Regional Strategy that it's still the government's intention to abolish, that's his word, not ours, the existing regional strategies by secondary legislation, so orders will have to be laid in Parliament. He's very vague on timing, though, saying that this will be, to quote, subject to the outcome of the environmental assessments process, which is ongoing.
So, finally, Nicola, what's been happening in the courts in the last month?
Well, there's been an interesting case in the High Court relating to a decision by Hammersmith and Fulham Council to adopt a supplementary planning document, or an SPD. It related to the regeneration of Shepherd's Bush Market and identified some of the neighbouring properties to the market for possible redevelopment, and the action was brought by businesses that occupied these properties. The SPD was quashed on two grounds. First, the council had misclassified the document as an SPD rather than an area action plan. Second, and leading on from this conclusion, the council had failed to undertake an appraisal of the sustainability of the Shepherd's Bush plan. Again, this is a legal requirement for statutory development plan documents. Moving on from this, the judgment was clear that whether or not the document was a development plan document or an SPD, the question still remained as to whether environmental assessment should have been undertaken in accordance with both European and UK law.
And what do you think the implications of that ruling will be?
Well, first off, it's important to say that it remains to be seen whether the council will challenge the decision. But I would say that the decision highlights some of the hazards and pitfalls local authorities face in preparing and testing policy documents.
Thanks, Nicola. That's all we've got time for today, I'm afraid. And we look forward to reporting again next month for our next podcast. In the meantime, if listeners have any queries or would like to discuss any of the news reported in relation to projects and development interests, please do get in touch with NLP. Our contact details are all on our website. So thank you and goodbye.
Bye.